to mention it this morning. Go ahead and clarify, because Austin asked me, and the elders and I had already discussed it as well. It's on the calendar now, unless something that's unforeseen interrupts. The follow-up to our mail-out will be on the fourth Sunday of every month, starting next month, so that we can get into our rotation and keep singing night where it's supposed to be. We just have a guest speaker coming next week, and so that interrupted it. So that's the answer, Austin. And I went straight to an elder and made sure that I clarified all that. So yes, that's where we're at. Part two, as I said, this morning was simple. You know, we got a history lesson and made a very straightforward point. This nation was founded on Christian principles. Tonight's not going to be any harder. Looking for one main thing. Founded on Christian principles, and yet sadly our godless society has been and continues to what? Remove these founding principles. We continue to see them being stripped from the laws on our books. And even though our Constitution still stands and is supposed to be still binding, we see a lot of those freedoms that as Christians we're supposed to have, for example, they're trying to take them away. We also see this same group amending and proclaiming a perverted history where they come across a Christian principle in our founding and they want to mark it out and rewrite the pages of history. We see them claiming this total separation of church and state, and as we mentioned this morning, that was never the intention. The intention was what? The intention was that government cannot establish a state religion and that the government cannot meddle in the free practice of Christianity. But sadly, this is the world in which we live. And so that battle, even though the battle on the cross has been won, the war has been won, there are battles that still continue in our lives where we are trying to do the right thing. We're trying to exercise our Christian freedoms, and we have to fight that battle. As the foundation of this nation has eroded, the building that stands on that foundation has begun to crumble. Yes, I still believe with all of my heart we live in the greatest nation in the world, but there are cracks in this nation that we can begin to see. Cracks that destroyed Israel. The paganism that leaked into what was supposed to be a theocracy. We can see the cracks that are in Babylon and Greece and Rome. The acceptance of all types of world religions, the acceptance of atheism, the perversion of God's design for marriage and for man and woman. Those same cracks exist in this nation. And they exist just like in a home because the foundation has begun to shift. So tonight's thought, it's very simple. There is only one solution. If there's only one foundation on which a nation can stand and be blessed, be Christian, as we looked at this morning in that sense, that means that there can only be one solution to fix it when we get away from that. So Psalm 33, specifically verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. Now then, we mentioned the fact that this is not a Christian nation. We are not God's nation. We're not God's chosen people. America, in that sense, does not stand above any other nation in the world. But I want you to understand that even though this passage is about Israel, there are some keys in the chapter that I need to clarify, and we're going to do that, so that we can expand the application to any nation without violating the context. Going back and just kind of glancing down with our eyes, starting about verse 6, notice he's talking not about just Israel, but the word of the Lord, the heavens were made by the breath of his mouth, all of their hosts. So he's talking about everything that's in creation. Verse 8, let all the earth fear him. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Verse 10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations, frustrates the plans of the people, or the peoples. Verse 13, he sees all the sons of men. He fashions the heart of them all. Verse 15. So we can take, and specifically I put on the board 6, 8, and 10, but those others as well. We can take those verses in the context of verse 12 and understand that when he says, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, it goes beyond Israel. That becomes a beatitude, a blessing, a plan for any and every nation, just like we used this morning in the book of Proverbs. So yes, it is applicable across the board. So let's go back to 12. Blessed is what? The nation whose God is the Lord. Notice that he does not write, and I'll be just as un-PC as I was this morning. Notice he does not write, blessed is the nation who has a multiplicity of gods. Blessed is a nation who throws open its doors and welcomes every world religion there could possibly be. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Notice he doesn't write, blessed is the nation whose God is power or wealth or money. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Which means, if that is true, on the other side, therefore the opposite's going to be true, not blessed is the nation whose God is anything or anyone other than the Lord. And we might want to interject at this point that you have to understand the word Lord within the context of the Bible, not within the context of any other religious writing or any other belief system. So I want to go back now to this morning, and I want to tie this to Proverbs chapter 14. So we have on one hand, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Question. As you go through from Genesis to Revelation, and in doing so, occasionally bump into lists of sins, lists of things we're supposed to do or not do, what do you often see at the top of the list? And I do not necessarily mean in gravity. Sin is sin. I know that. But I mean in order. But also in a sense, a foundational sin. that leads to the other things? What does Exodus 20 and verse 3 say? Somebody find it real quick. David, when you get there, I want you to read it out loud. Foundational. You're going to start the Ten Commandments and you're going to start the entire law on which Israel is going to stand, and you shall have no other God before me. Proverbs 6 verse 17. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are abomination. Number one, haughty eyes, arrogance, pride. What is the essence of pride and arrogance? Taking God off of the throne on which He sits. That first place sin in Exodus 20 in verse 3. Matthew 22 verse 37. Hey, Jesus, I need you to take all the law and all the prophets, and I need you to boil it down, and I need you to give me command number one on the list. The greatest command is this: you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your mind, with all of your strength, with all of your soul. When we roll all of those verses together and we go to Proverbs 14 and we go to Psalm 33, we begin to understand. We begin to understand that once a nation or an individual begins chipping away at God's throne with that number one sin of pride and arrogance, where anything can come before God, when we begin chipping away at His sovereignty, when we move from a theocracy with one monarch, one king on the throne, what did Israel do? Hey, they wanted an earthly king. They wanted two kings. The slide has begun, and the end is in sight. What were some of the readings that we saw this morning? All the way back to the late 1700s, this trend to take the Bible out of schools and begin to teach the fables and the other things to our kids. Let's dethrone God and let's teach other things in our pride and in our arrogance. And it takes a while for it to show, but what you have happening at that moment is the slide beginning. Because each step leads to the next. We can sing God Bless America until we're blue in the face. We can put it on our license tags. We can pray God Bless America. We can say a pledge without those things ever meaning anything. If the foundation has been stripped away within a nation, if the sovereignty of God has been removed and His throne has been eroded to the point that He does not sit on the throne of a nation any longer, those things are just words. That's true in my individual life as well. The proof comes in Matthew 7 and verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of my Father. I don't want lip service. He said, I'm either king or I'm not. It's either the real deal, the real relationship, or it's not. And so there's a disconnect if making Him Lord verbally does not change our actions, so that when we get to verse 24, he reminds us with that parable that we know so well, and we even sing as kids, the wise man is the man who builds on the foundation of Christ Jesus and his words, acts upon those things. So there's a disconnect. And we can sing God Bless America, and we can print In God We Trust on our money and on our license plate. But as a general rule, we are a self-centered, self-serving, godless, and I have no idea what heath means. It's supposed to say heathen nation. Regardless our beginnings. I'll give you another piece of proof. You can go look this one up. Did you know that 66% of this nation does not believe in an absolute standard of right and wrong? There's no standard of truth in this nation. Now then, here's how I can tell you that that means there's this disconnect and that we're a godless heathen nation. God says what? God says what? John 8 and verse 32. You shall know the truth, the truth. There is a singular truth, and you can know it, and it will set you free. John 17 and verse 17. Thy word is truth. Therefore, when we blur the line as a nation between right and wrong, when we blur out the fact that there is a truth, we make God out to be a liar. Two-thirds of our nation is calling God a liar. And if two-thirds, if 66% of your nation is calling God a liar, by percentages, we're a godless nation. We've stripped him in this nation of his throne. We've chipped away and chipped away and chipped away at the foundation of his throne and the principles on which his country is built until the point that we have kicked him out of our government. We can't have a statue. We can't have Ten Commandments. We can't have anything on government property that might offend somebody. We've kicked him out of our history. We've kicked him out of our schools. We've kicked him out of our home. And in a large measure, using that umbrella word, we've kicked him out of Christianity. Because so much of what parades around as Christianity today is just self-serving, godless heathenism. Whatever pleases me, whatever makes me happy. And if we, one solution, if we do not return him to that exalted position, the text says what? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Unblessed, the opposite of that, is the nation whose God is not the Lord. Therefore, if we do not return him to the throne, there is no longer a blessing for this nation. One point. There's only one solution that allows us to continue to stand. And that is to return God to the throne and acknowledge his rule. We have to remove that arbitrary separation of church and state that's been forced upon us by the godless in our society and go back to where we started when we were a blessed nation. Now here's the invitation. Just like this morning, the same thing is true individually. If the great commandment is love God with all of your being, he has to sit on the throne of my heart. If the foundation of the Old Testament, which becomes the foundation for the New Testament, is you shall have no other God before me, then I can personally have no other God before him. Where is your allegiance? As much as I love this nation, our allegiance cannot be to the United States of America. It has to be to God. And then when we put God on that throne, then we can celebrate a nation that's what it's supposed to be. There's only one solution. It works for a nation and it works for an individual as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from